Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from today's gospel, especially where Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when we come across something that we find distasteful, whether it's a person or a thing or a food or something like that, what we'll tend to do is just avoid it and replace it with something that is better. I told this story a long time ago, but I still remember it very clearly when I went to my relative's house in Seward, Nebraska, when I was going to college there for Sunday lunch. And it was a real treat because I got real food instead of cafeteria food, and the food was great. And finally, dessert came out, and it was one of my favorites. It was lime jello with mandarin oranges in it, you know. For some reason, she put it on a leaf of lettuce. I don't know why, but, you know, whatever. I really loved it. And there was a big dollop of Cool Whip on top. And I was like, oh, boy. And I took about half of that and just pounded it in my mouth. And then in like a nanosecond, my tongue registered what had happened and told my brain that that wasn't Cool Whip. It was Miracle Whip. And the miracle was, of course, that I didn't rocket this jello right into my host's face because it was all I could do to kid it down. But from that day forward, I have never touched Miracle Whip again, ever. And I found a replacement, mayonnaise. It's not the same thing, you know. But Miracle Whip, I can't stand. Mayonnaise, that's fine. But you see, it's distasteful to me, so I find a difference. I found something to replace it. And we can do that in the Christian church very easily. One example of that is, you know, it's that thing, you know, keep Christ in Christmas, you know. It's probably over the last 30, 40 years, you know. You're not supposed to say Merry Christmas, right? If you say Merry Christmas, if you slip and someone catches you, right, and they'll say it's Happy Holidays, very judgmental-like, and it gets us all miffed and everything, but it doesn't really seem to make much sense. I mean, that you can't mention the name of the person whose birthday we are celebrating, after all. It'd be like me having a birthday party for myself and they singing, you know, happy birthday to somebody. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. But again, that's pretty puny. That's been going on 30, 40 years. There's something else that's been going on for 2,000 years. And that's people's attempt to get the cross out of Christianity. It began with the Gnostics, saying Jesus didn't really die on the cross. It might have appeared that way. Nothing really happened at the cross. And it's still being said today. I picked up a commentary, pretty new one. I think it had been published the last 2 years. And I read it. It was a chapter about by a theologian about Jesus bringing in the kingdom of God. And he's saying all the right things, right? He came, he reached out to those who were disenfranchised. He reached out to those who were outside of society, looked down on others. He showed grace. He forgave sins. He healed. He loved. He met people where they were at. And then, all of a sudden, the theologian said, but this is a point of emphasis in Jesus' life. They didn't die on a cross to forgive our sins. He said he died on the cross because he did forgive sins. In other words, he was threatening the leadership by reaching out to these lost people and forgiving them. He was a threat to these people in power, and so they put him to death. So Jesus' death on the cross does not bring us atonement. It doesn't forgive our sins. It doesn't make us children of God. It doesn't save us. It was an unfortunate accident. That's been going on for 2,000 years, and it's incredibly dangerous. Although, I tell you, the disciples 2,000 years ago would have agreed wholeheartedly with this theologian. Okay? As I said before, chapters 7 and 8 and chapters 9, there's a big shift. 7 and 8 and everything leading up to that is Jesus, by and large, reaching out to large crowds and teaching them and helping them and doing miracles with them. You got the feeding of the 5,000, you got the feeding of the 4,000, just to name two. But here it says Jesus is shooting through Galilee and he doesn't want anybody to know it. Why? Because this is his time to teach his disciples, to teach them all the things that he had already taught them and that they hadn't learned. One of those has to do with something called the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees. This came after Jesus fed the 4,000, and the disciples hopped in the boat, and they're about halfway across the Sea of Galilee when they realize they only brought one loaf of bread. Oops, what are we going to do now? And they're all upset about this. And Jesus says, beware the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees. And of course, the disciples, not the brightest guys, say, he's talking about yeast. He's upset about the bread too. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because Jesus just completely goes off on these guys, right? I mean, they make it sound really nice in the Bible and stuff, but I'm sure it was pretty harsh. Because Jesus is like, what is wrong with you people, right? I mean, I fed 5,000 people with a little bit of food. And I fed 4,000 people with a little bit of food. Was there a lot left over? Yeah. And you're worried because we don't have enough bread? Have you learned nothing? But you see, that's really what he meant. You have to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Watch out for it. What's interesting about that, in Matthew, it says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, that's easy for us to understand. He's talking about, because these are two groups primarily who are teaching people how to live. So, in other words, Jesus says, beware their teaching. But in Mark, Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and King Herod. Well, King Herod has nothing to do with teaching. King Herod is about leadership. And what Jesus is saying to the disciples is, these guys are bad leaders and they're bad shepherd of my sheep. Don't be like them. And so he teaches them now a lesson on leadership. So, for the second time then, Jesus says that he's going to die. But if you see the first time and the second time, you'll see Jesus adds something. The first time he basically says, Jesus, I'm going to be caught and killed and on the third day rise. But here he adds, he says, and he will be delivered into the hands of men. That's new. And what that another way of saying is, he'll be handed over. A better way of translating that is, he will be betrayed. Now, your enemies don't betray you, okay? Enemies just arrest you and kill you. It's your friends that betray you. And so when it says that the disciples were arguing on the way to see which one was the greatest, they were arguing about who would be the best leader. In other words, who would they be sure will not betray Jesus? And Jesus says, you don't understand anything. Leadership is about being least and making others the greatest. It's about serving others and not being served. And as an object lesson, he brings a young boy in front of him, and he says, look, as some of the other gospels say, you need to be like this child. What does Jesus say in Mark? You need to accept this child. You need to receive him. In other words, you need to serve him. I think this is one of those cultural blind spots that we have in reading the Bible. Thinking that people 2,000 years ago thought about kids the same way we do today? No, they didn't, okay? If they had Facebook back then, you'd never see a kid's picture anywhere, all right? Never. They were the least. If there was a lack of food, I mean, the last person to eat in the family was the kid, and the first person to die of starvation was the kid, because you can always make them over again. That's how they felt about children. But Jesus says, not so with you. You need to serve as these children do. Now, the disciples' idea about leadership is pretty much the same as our culture's nowadays. You know, it's about achieving. It's about succeeding. It's about being powerful so people follow you. And Jesus says, no, it's about serving. It's about being least. In many of the Gospels, the focus is Jesus saying, believe in me, trust in me. Mark has a slightly different variation of that. Mark focuses on Jesus saying, follow me. And when we follow Christ, the path will lead to the cross where he gave his life, where he gave us the ultimate example of leadership and his greatness at the cross. 30-some years now, I've been a pastor, and every time I baptize an infant, I follow the liturgy given me when I was became a pastor. Use the same liturgy, 30 years. And before the baptism, I always do the same thing. I make the sign of the cross over the forehead and over the heart, signifying that this is one that has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the crucified. So this child begins a new life under the sign of the cross. And that doesn't mean the child lives her life trying to pretend to be like Jesus, but it means this child throughout his or her life will grow up following Jesus, following him to the cross. And in that cross, receiving peace in knowing that sins are forgiven, and receiving joy in knowing the salvation that was won for us. And most importantly of all, knowing the gift of Jesus' grace in seeing his death on the cross, and knowing that when he died, he gave us new life. I pray that the Lord continue to bless us so that the center of our faith is always the cross of Jesus Christ and the love that that signifies, a love of a risen Savior who's with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This time now we receive our offering.